Very, very warm welcome to you. Thank you. There aren't many notices, but I'm just going to repeat the one that was on the screen. The Kingston United Reformed Church Book Club is starting again this Tuesday at 7:30 at Katie Frost's home. All are welcome, whether you have read this month's book or not. Please speak to Linda, Austin, or Katie if you wish to know more. A reminder that next week is Connor's baptism. Connor's the grandson of Kathy Seymour. And a reminder too that the students are all going back to university this week, and this will be Bessie's last Sunday with us.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love, because of your great mercy. Wipe away all my sins. We join together to sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." We say together Psalm 51. Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love, because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. I recognize my faults. I am always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you, only against you, and done what you consider evil. So you are right in judging me. You are justified in condemning me. I have been evil from the day I was born. From the time I was conceived, I have been sinful. Sincerity and truth are what you require. Fill my mind with your wisdom. Remove my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness. And though you have crushed me and broken me, I will be happy once again. Close my eyes to my sins and wipe away all my evil. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit in me. Have a seat. Join to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly God, we thank you for being God of both the bigger picture and the tiny details. No creature in your creation is too insignificant to escape your notice. No person is too unimportant to be missed by you. We thank you for your care and your concern for all who have gone astray and for taking the risk to seek them out. You are God who cares. You are God who notices. You are God who takes risks. We confess that often we stray from your presence. Most of the time it's not deliberate. We just get distracted by greener grass. We go our own way until we are lost. Or sometimes, like the lost coin, something happens and we are separated from you. And it might be that we think we can hide from your light and your presence. But we can't. And we confess that we don't pay our brothers and sisters the same attention as you pay to us. People wander off and we don't notice. Forgive our lack of care because it looks like we don't love them and we're not interested. And help us to allow your love for us to shape our love for others. We rest in your love. Thank you. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom.
Up your hands if you went. Can you hear me? Put up your hands if you went on holiday this summer. Put them down again. Put up your hands if you went by air. You went on an aeroplane. Oh, you lucky people. Right. I'm going to tell you about a family who had quite a difficult journey. They had a lovely holiday. There was mum and dad and three children. They had a lovely holiday in Spain where it was hot and sunny and they spent lots of time in the pool and they had lovely adventures. And then it was time to come home. And they didn't want to come back. They wanted to stay in the sunshine. Somebody told them it was raining in England and they were coming back to rain and school. Anyway, it had to be. So they packed all their luggage into the hire car and they drove to the airport. They left the hire car at the office of the company. They went across the road to the airport, went and checked in so that the people in the airline knew they were there and they wanted their seats on the plane. And then they had to go through security, which was a long queue, and showing people what you've got in your pockets and opening the bags. But at last, they were through. And then Dad suddenly realized that he hadn't got his wallet with him. Do you know what goes in a wallet, Sophia? Money and your bank cards. And this Dad had got his driving license as well. And he'd got the ticket for the car park back in England so that they could get their car out and go home. So what were they to do? The plane was going to take off in about 20 minutes' time, so they hadn't got long. And they knew that if they ran back as fast as they could, they probably wouldn't get back to the car hire place, pick up the wallet, and get back before the plane took off. So perhaps they could ring the people who hired the car out and say, could you post Dad's wallet back to us in England? But then they wouldn't have the things that were in it. So they had a really difficult decision to make. What do you think you would have suggested? Sophia says she would stay there because that would give her another day there in the sunshine and they'd get the wallet back. I think that's a very good idea. Anybody else got any ideas? Anything different, Sue? Yeah? Sorry? Stay there forever on holiday. That would be a bit extreme and very expensive. You got any ideas? You could report it, but even report it to the police, perhaps. Anyway, what they did was they called the car hire company and they found the wallet and quickly took it to somebody on the airline staff, and this person raced through the airport to return it just before the gate closed and they could get their flight home. But deciding what to do when you lose something isn't always easy, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And now we're going to sing Lord of the Dance 195.
Thank you.
Thank you, kind sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See you later. Two readings, one from the letters, one from the gospel. I was very conscious when we were saying that psalm, there's a lot of chat about sin. And lots of the time we think of sin as being about personal morality and individual choices. So, you know, we've done things wrong, that's sin. Whereas sin is, think of it as human beings' ability to muck things up. So it's not about the fact that you forgot to smile at your neighbour, Margaret McMahon. It's not about the fact that you forgot to do, you know, wee things, but it's about that innate human being's ability to muck things up. And also then that leads to break in relationship with God. Ray Erskine will read this passage to us.
The reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 12. I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength for my work. I thank him for considering me worthy evil of him and persecuted and insulted him. But God was merciful to me because I did not yet have faith and so did not know what I was doing. And our Lord poured out his abundant grace on me and gave me the faith and love which are ours in union with Jesus Christ. This is a true saying, to be completely accepted and believed. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am the worst of them, but God was merciful to me in order that Christ Jesus might show his full patience in dealing with me and the worst of sinners, as an example for all those who would later believe in him and receive eternal life. To the eternal King, immortal and invisible, the only God, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
There are people who would say that if the 15th chapter of Luke was ripped out, the Bible would not be as important and significant as it is to them. For many, this chapter is the most important chapter in the whole of the Bible, and these stories are often overshadowed by the one that comes after them. Linda Austin will read this passage to us.
One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, I am so happy. I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp, sweeps her house, and looks carefully everywhere until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says to them, I am so happy I've found the coin I lost. Let us celebrate. In the same way, I tell you, the angels of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Amen. The question for us who are in, what about the 9 coins? What about the 99 sheep? Don't they matter? Don't we matter? Found is where we are meant to be. Found is where all people are meant to be. Loved, cherished, knowing our value, not because of what we do, it's a big issue, knowing our value, not because of what we do, but just because we are. Found by someone and a rest in that. And the way we view ourselves as being found is a game changer. These stories in Luke are about lost and found, but they're also about abundance. The childish view of love is that it's a pizza. But it's not. It's a river. If someone else is included, does that mean that there's less for me? Because it's a pizza, and if you have a slice, then there's less slices for me. Or is it that actually love is a thing that flows, and if there's love for you, then you know what? There's love for me as well. And to remember that it's a river, not a pizza, is an important motto and something we need to remember. God is not miserly in love, and everyone is precious to God. And the 99 do not need to be suspicious or anxious about the one. There is room. What about in church? How do we cope with letting new people in? Often I've heard people talk about being pressurized with jobs, and then I know about times when people haven't been able to share new roles with others. How will it be for the 99 if the one wants to change things? How will it be for the 99 if the one has different priorities? Will the 99 be able to hand things over to the one, and will they grow to trust them? So these stories are stories of abundance and of searching, but they are not passages about moral behavior that some people are better than others. It's about God being the one who rescues, we would say, who rescues in Jesus. The trouble of the way that we often look at these stories is we often get them the wrong way around. We live in a culture where me is the most important word. A culture where I am the center of the universe. And of course a shepherd would leave 99 to look for me. Of course. I'm wholesome. I'm lovely. I pay my taxes. I floss my teeth. Of course. Who wouldn't want me around? But that looks at the story the wrong way around. This is not the story about the brave sheep that battles up the hill and returns to the 99 triumphant. Yes, I did it. It's not that story. That is not the story that you've got here. This is the story about the one who is searched for. It's not the story about the coin who somehow yeah, I know about the physics, somehow gets themselves out from being hidden and found by their own efforts. That's not the story. It is the searcher, the one who looks, that gives the single sheep and the single coin their value. It's all about the searcher. Stories of abundance. 100 sheep. We've heard the story so often that we fail to grasp the fact that that is a lot of sheep. How did the shepherd even notice that one was missing? 10 silver coins in a house that somebody already owns? How abundant is that? How amazing to celebrate. But then, if you actually think about this story, so if you haven't going to have a decent party, you're going to spend more than 1 silver coin. So there's something else going on. And notice this isn't a wee, I go to the shop and buy myself a bottle of bubbly and a bag of crisps. This is a, and then I invite my neighbours in and we all celebrate together. Somewhere in the mix is the fact that the 100 and the 10 are whole numbers, complete numbers. But 99 and 9 are numbers where somebody is missing. Somebody is missing. And so the number is not complete. Whose job is it to look for the one who is missing? How conscious are we of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are not with us on a Sunday? And of course, might be on holiday, might be at a party, and of course we also know about, this is Britain, it's 2019, and for many people Sunday morning is the time when the invites come in for the kids to go to a party, and how are parents to make a decision? Yeah, we know about that. But it could be that one of our brothers and sisters in Christ isn't well. Who's asking about them? It could be that they're troubled in some way. Who's asking about them? It could be the fact they're not coming here is them trying to communicate something with the rest of us. Who's asking about them? What are our responsibilities to be people who look for the one? And then there's the bigger question. What about those who have no sense that they have ever been invited? What about those who have no notion that there is somebody who is looking for them? Who is searching for them? Who longs for them to be in relationship? Who is going to find appropriate ways to communicate that truth with them? The heart of God is not full until all know that they have a place within the schemes of God. Until all know how loved and precious they are. So we love these stories. We know them well. We are people who highly value the individual. That's our culture, that's how it is. And again, that's looking at it the whole way around. What matters is the group. That when one is missing, the group is diminished. Just because you are you, you matter. We are valuable because of what we bring to the whole. Our littleness, our insignificance, does not make us ridiculous or redundant. No matter what other people might say, in God's sight, our littleness, does not matter, because we are one in a community. And note, it's not a superficial wash. Oh yeah, the Great Big Huge Group here. It's each one is known, each one is loved. They are loved as individuals, and then they are loved together. So the passage from 1 Timothy has the method of using I once was and now I am. And there are loads of hardcore, ordinary, everyday Christians who would love to have a hardcore backstory that speaks of I used to be and now I am. But the danger of such a testimony where somebody gets up and tells the world about how they used to be and now they are is that it puts emphasis on the one rather than the saver, the savior, the searcher. I forgot that I was a sheep. I forgot that I was a coin. And the one came to look for me. The hero is the searcher, not the brave sheep. So the challenge in this is to get the balance right. We matter not because of our innate skills, our innate abilities, our beauty. That is not what matters. We matter because each of us matters to God. And that's true for us, and it's true for everybody. And if you can communicate that truth to yourself, then you will find that it changes everything. To have a sense of our tender value, which means that we can be generous and gracious in the living of life. We do not need to put others down. We do not wear the hat of being always first, the fastest, the richest, the coolest, the best connected, having the right answers. We don't need that. We don't need it. We're small. Others might reject us as being insignificant, but we are highly prized. We are the sort of people that a woman would turn a house upside down to search for, or a shepherd would leave 99 to come and search for us. That's who we are. However others view us, that's up to them. But we believe that that is true. It's also true of all those that we meet. And who will communicate that to them, if not us, in the way that we behave towards them? Let us be still, and then we will pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us that took Jesus to the cross. Thank you. That transforms the way we view ourselves. The way we view one another. And the way we view all those people we will meet this week. Help us, Lord, in the week ahead to live life out of the river of your love for us. With graciousness and generosity. For you are God of abundance, and we receive. Thank you. Amen. join to sing. O God, you search me and you know me. One of the things that we're doing at the 11:30 today is we are praying for people who have gone missing. We'll pick that up for our prayers today, so let us pray. Pray for those who every day hope that this will be the day when the one who went away returns. And pray for those who know exactly where somebody lives, but relationship somehow along the years has got lost. Pray for those in the life of our church who've stopped coming. And we hold up before you, Lord our God, those who have no sense that you are God who is looking out in love for them. Pray for those who have gone through trauma and separation and death, and who feel in their bereavements and their pain that you have let them down. and those overwhelmed by the rush of every day. Tempted to go a different path. Lord, when the darkness descends, when things that are more attractive in the short term, help your people to know and to remember the importance of worship, of stopping, of relationship. Pray for those who are away because they're off to university. Be with those who are starting, freshers. Keep those who will be out in the streets of Kingston, keep them safe. We hold up before you, Lord our God, our own sense of lostness. Being the outsider, the times when we don't feel valued or loved. Our own insecurities. Heal us and remind us, Lord Jesus. And we pray for those that we love, who are burdened and who have lost a sense of their own value. Their own innate value, and have become focused on their value as only being what they do, what they own, how much money they have in the bank. And for ourselves, Lord Jesus, remind us of your love day by day. That would transform the people that we are and the way that we live our lives. And challenge each of our interactions. For we are people who can afford to be generous, who can afford to be kind. For we are people for whom somebody has died. Thank you. Amen. Just to draw your attention to the fact that Jason Lee has snuck in back from Afghanistan. Are you on holiday? Are you going back? When are you going? 2 weeks. 2 weeks off. It's sunny every day, Jason. Great to see you. Great to see you safe. Right, you can have 2 weeks off from praying for him, but you've got to pray for everybody else who's in Afghanistan. Then 2 weeks you're back on duty. Okay, let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Amen. join to sing Amazing Grace? I know. From Ephesians 3. To the one who by means of power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time and forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.